Welcome to episode 12 of I Can Ship It. We're your host, I'm Annette.
And I'm Ashley.
And today, our beautiful episode, we are just happy to be doing it for you. We're going to be talking about the reboot and the original of The L Word, because the trailer for the reboot has dropped. It is 1 minute long, but in that minute, we see some amazingness and we have some questions. So we just needed to get that out and start talking about it. But we get to see our girls. We see Bette. We see Alice. We see Shane. And then they bring in that new cast force. So we see Micah, we see Danny, we see Sophie, and my personal favorite, Finley. I'm just saying, like, Jacqueline Tobani, I'm here for it. But that trailer dropped. I was in a meeting. Ashley texted me and was like, dude, I need you to see this now.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, I stepped outside of my audit meeting just so I could watch this trailer.
Yeah. Well, like, I was, what was I doing? Oh. I was on a translation phone call, so, you know, the translator's, like, translating, and I'm just sitting there, you know? And so I'm, like, playing, I'm, like, scrolling through Twitter, and I happen to hit refresh, and that was the first tweet that popped up, and I was like, holy shit. I didn't even watch it yet. I just immediately texted. We have a group text. Me, Annette, and our friend Natalie. Shout out to Nat.
We're going to get Nat on this podcast. You just wait.
We're totally going to get it. And I didn't even watch it yet. I literally just went straight to that chat and was like, it dropped. And then went back to start watching it. And then Annette was like, I'm going to step out. And I was like, oh, what? No, you didn't say that yet. You were like, I can't. You said something and you were like, I can't do it or something like that. And I was like, I really need you to watch this. And then you were like, I got to step out. And then she steps out. And then we start going back and forth. And holy shit. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Oh, my God. This is really happening. So needless to say, we've been, like, on cloud nine for, like, 3 days.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, the opening shot of this trailer is our favorite HBIC, Bette Porter.
Hell
Bette
yes.
Porter is forever our favorite, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's opening. She's giving a speech. She is running for the fucking mayor of Los Angeles. And, I mean, she is there in all her suited up glory. They're not going to have a problem shooting a flashback scene with this woman because she looks even younger now than she did 10 years ago.
That's because black don't crack and brown don't frown. It's true. Jennifer Beals has not aged in like 40 years. Like, she looks exactly the same as she did in Flashdance. Like, her hair is just not
as big. She looks better than she did in Flashdance.
She really does. She looks the same. She's aged, you know, a little bit. But, like, as far as, like, the youthfulness of, like, her skin. Like, her skin, I would love to know what her skin product care products are.
You want her regimen.
Holy shit. Like, her skin is flawless. And, I mean, she's just beautiful. Just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And has not aged. Again, like I said, black don't crack and brown don't frown. So, I mean, I wasn't shocked. Like, somebody had posted on Twitter. Like, it's not a friend of mine, so I didn't say anything. But, like, they were like, I don't understand how she hasn't aged. And I'm, like, sitting there and I'm like, should I tell her? Or should I just leave it to myself? Especially since I don't know who you are. I was like, nah. I was keeping myself. I ain't gonna say nothing. But well, I'm gonna let
you guys research on their own.
Exactly. Here you go. Research. Black don't crack and brown don't frown. Jennifer Beals is living proof of that phrase. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, the rest of them look good too. I mean, but you know, they haven't really changed that much. You know?
No. Like, Shane, I think, looks fantastic. Alice looks fantastic. And that's the only three originals we see. Mm-hmm. And from what we gather from this 1 minute is, Shane, I don't know what Shane's doing, but Shane's flying on some private jets, okay? I mean, gets off looking like $1 million. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, Alice has her own show, which we kind of figure out that's from, look, I'm into the characters. I don't care. Some people don't like the new ones. Basically, it's queer over a lesbian, which I'm down for because we're all in the same boat. You know, I want to see where it's at. Through the 2019, we were, you know, when there was maybe, you know, not some so great trans acceptance in the past. they did Max Dirty. Max may not have been your favorite character. But.
Well, here's the thing. You know, like Max, Max, I was indifferent. Like, I didn't really care for him. I was just like, okay, you're there, whatever. But, okay, we're going to take a break for a second. Now, if you don't like the fact that there's new characters, y'all, the show has been off the air for a long ass time. Like, it would make zero sense to redo the same. Exactly. It would make zero sense to redo the same thing and alienate people again. Like you said, like we said earlier, alienated, you know, and mistreated you know, trans characters on the show, it wouldn't make sense. Like, it's 2019. Like, if we haven't progressed at all, then what the hell are we doing?
What's so, the
like,
point of doing it?
Exactly. If you're pissed off, well, you know what? GTFO, go sit down somewhere, you know, be thankful that we're getting what we're getting and enjoy it. Like, you don't know. We don't know anything. Like, we know there's three original characters and there's a bunch of new people. We don't know how many old characters there are. We just know that Bette, Shane, and Alice are the three that they've announced. That's it. We don't know, you know, who's going to show up. We don't know.
Look,
anything.
I mean, here's the thing. We're getting 8 episodes with this reboot. We don't know if we're going to get a season 2. I mean, my God, we hope we are. Based on what we've seen in the trailer, yeah, I think we're going to get a season 2 because we have our three originals. We love them. Like, we know that they're going to be great. We're going to get to see, you know, Bette Porter, who, you know, let's face it, we call Kamala Harris the straight Bette Porter. And I'm okay with this. It's just how this rolls. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we see how they've grown up and how they've aged. And through them, we're going to get access to this new group. Because I think Finley's the assistant, I don't know, either to Alice or Shane. In the clip, we see Finley there with Shane while Shane's doing some boxing workout or whatever. But we also see her driving Sophie in this golf cart to the set of Alice. So, I mean, there's a lot of things we don't know. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Danny and Mike are roommates from what I can make out. But the thing is, we get these 8 episodes that I think they've got 2 or 3 that they've already filmed. We don't know what the other, you know, 5 or 6 are going to be. There's a lot of room for cameos. We know. We know for a fact Sarah Shahi wants in on this. Like, Carmen, we will see Carmen. I guarantee it.
Honestly, when that episode drops, I'm pretty sure we will be dead. Like, I can already tell we're gonna die. Like, I'm already prepared. I'm already mentally preparing for this.
To see Carmen and Shane to just be eating her heart out. I know it's been a decade. I know Shane's had several girls after Carmen. We don't know where Shane's at. We don't know if she's in a relationship or not. We definitely see her making out. Wow, forget making out. She's definitely having sex with somebody. Shirts are off in this trailer. Matter of fact, Ashley was like, girl, this girl looks like Carmen. I will not lie. I will out myself here.
When
I
you're
that shit.
If you're just like watching it and like how fast it goes, like I went back and tried to investigate too. I didn't do as well as you did, but because I was at work, and so I was like, okay, I have to like be careful about watching this. But like, so I'm like trying to like start, like stop and like pause it and start it and pause it and start it to try to like get to that part to see if it's her, and I couldn't get an accurate picture. So thank you for sending that. But like in passing. Yes. If you're just watching the trailer as is, it looks like Carmen. Like, I mean, it's so quick. She has a type. Exactly. But something you said earlier about the new cast, I mean, it makes sense that they would add younger characters because if you think about it, so when I watched it, when I started watching it, it was almost just about to go off the air. And it went off the air in 2009. I was a junior in college. So I was about 21, 22. I grew up with the original cast, but I was, you know, definitely a good 10 years younger than the cast as far as like the characters on the show. So it makes sense to have younger characters be a little bit closer in age to a newer market, you know, the newer generation, because, you know, a lot of people who are younger than us have not even seen the original show. So this is an experience for them to really, you know, immediately find who they want to like connect with, how we got to do it with the original show. So again, for the haters out there who are pissed about the new characters, if you think about it for 3 seconds, it makes sense. Don't be a hater.
Well, yeah. And we're going to get to see, I mean, Tina is not in this trailer. We know, all right, just going to put it out there. If your heart was set on seeing Tina, put that out, okay? Because. Yeah. Laura Holloman retired from acting. She's focused on her art. That is her choice. So, but her focusing on her art, I've had wine, people, okay? So, should not keep us from seeing our Bette Porter, all right? And we do see in the trailer, Bette gets her some action, and it ain't Tina. I will say my gut reaction was to this trailer. I said, Shane's on private jets. Alice has got her own shows. I was like, Bette's running for office, but there's no Tina. And then in parentheses, I was like, T to be dead, because I feel like that's the only way a lot of people's gonna accept it, because the whole antithesis of those six seasons was Bette and Tina, are they going to be together? Or are they not going to be together? Mm-hmm. And let's face it, Laurel Holloman and Jennifer Beals have hella chemistry, okay?
Oh my god, yeah.
So,
for sure.
You know, whether you disliked Tina, it didn't matter. You loved Bette and Tina. Mm-hmm. You loved some Thai Bette. It was just there. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, and, exactly.
You know, that's one thing I've seen people, they're upset because there's no Tina. But I'm like, you know what? It's an actor's choice whether they want to take part in this or not. So if we don't have Tina, we don't have Tina. But we do have Angelica, the mm-hmm. daughter.
Yeah,
she is a teenager now. And she's 15. See her in the trailer. Yeah, and I don't know how this is going to go. I feel like Angelica is going to be exploring who she is because we see her in her, you know, private school uniform with another girl. I just don't know what's going to happen here. But,
I mean, if she's anything like her mama, she got game. So, very well may be. I mean, well, yeah. I think, honestly, the theory that Tina's dead, I don't think that's far-fetched. Like, because if you think about it, so the end of season six.
We know nothing. We're guessing with everybody else.
Yeah, this is all speculation. Like, this whole episode, you know, we're going to talk about the old show as well. But anything about the new show, we don't know anything. Like, we're in the dark as much as the next person. But I feel like that theory of Tina being dead is probably accurate just because, remember at the end of season six, they left to go to New York and they had joint custody mm-hmm. of Angelica. So if there was a split, I don't know how, I mean, you could, yeah, there's people that do that kind of transatlantic thing, but Angelica's in LA with Bette and, you know, she's going to school and stuff like that. That's her home base. So I feel like, you know, my theory, anyway, is Tina died of something, you know, or was in a car accident or, you know, yeah, she died. Some kind of tragic accident. Like, I really don't think they'll do another cancer situation. So I don't feel it would be an illness.
Oh, they best the fuck not.
I don't think it'll be another illness that'll take her out. But I feel like it's probably like an accident or something. And that also sparks Bette to move back to L.A., but everybody was already gone or, you know, doing their own thing or whatever.
Right.
Besides Alice. Think about Alice it.
They were adults. I mean, well into their 30s, going into mm-hmm. their 40s 10 years ago. Okay. So, yeah, the gang's not all going to be together. And from what we know, it's going to season six is not going to have happened. Like, they're going to start this with the premise of season six never happened. So, in theory, Jenny's still alive. No. You know?
Yeah, I know. Deal with your feelings with Jenny. But I, you know, okay. All right. Here's my thing. You know, I have my issues with Jenny mostly mm-hmm. because I don't like the turn that they took with her. To be honest, and you know how we are on the show. We're very honest. To be honest with you, I feel like it was a cop out to make her like just go crazy. Like I feel like they just didn't have really anything to attach her to. And so mm-hmm. they were just like, all right, we'll just make her just, you know, we'll just keep up with this batshit idea and then just make her go crazy and, you know, turn on all her friends and like all that. Like that was bullshit. So like, because of the way that they did that's my issue with mm-hmm. her. Like if she comes back, all right, cool. Just don't do the same shit that you did 10 years ago.
Exactly. Let that bitch grow up. Because
exactly. Like they're pushing what, 40s? Like, right?
Yeah.
40 something?
40. That's probably near 50, okay? Let's be real.
Yeah, I would say, you know what? I would think probably they were, I think Bette and Tina were probably, I would say mid-30s.
They were the oldest of the bunch.
Yeah, they were definitely the oldest of the group. So yeah, so Bette's probably in her mid-40s to late 40s. And then the rest of the crew kind of sprinkles down from there. So, but at this point, though, you're pushing 40. Pretty much all of them, barring Bette, is pushing 40. So grow up. Grow the fuck up. Like, don't do that same petty bullshit that you did 10 years ago, which I don't get that vibe from just the limited information we have. I don't get that they'll do that. Mm-hmm. I just, my biggest hope for this show is that Shane has actually truly grown as a person and is not doing the same bullshit she did 15 years mm-hmm. ago. That is my biggest thing because and the reason why is to set up her eventual run-in with Carmen, because it's just, I, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like it would be so refreshing to see her actually be staying. And even if it's if she's just like not even dating, but she's just kind of sleeping around, like that's fine. People do that all the time in real life. So, I mean, that's cool, whatever. But just don't have her do the same shit she did, you know. Oh, I want to be in a relationship. Oh, I'm going to run from it because I can't be in a relationship. Like, I want her to be actually seeking a relationship to settle down. Like, not like hardcore looking for it, casually dating, you know, that's fine. But just don't do the same shit. Like, if they don't do the same shit, I will be very, very happy. Because, like, and the thing of it is, with Shane's character, it's very easy to just fall back into that routine because so many people loved her character. Personally, like, I like Shane, but she wasn't my favorite.
No, I like Shane as far as a friend, because I'm telling you, that girl was ride or die. The trifecta, you know, Alice, Shane, and Dana were always my three favorites. Like, when it came to that friendship, anytime they were together, there was some shenanigans happening. Mm-hmm. But they were always there for each other. And that's the thing, like, for her to be such a good person in that sense, but man, she just could not get her love life together. Yeah. And, you know, when she was kind of getting through that the only time she was actually getting through that was with Carmen. And then I will even shout out to Molly.
Thank you. Oh my God. I'm glad I'm not the only one that thought that too. Cause okay. So don't get me wrong. I'm a bitter Betty. I was very pissed off at the end of season 3 of The L Word because of the whole Shane Carmen fiasco. I mean, mind you, you know, Sarah Shahi went on to do Life and, you know, do all this other great stuff. Person of Interest, shout out. But anyway.
I mean, let's thank her for that because.
Exactly.
Person of Interest, boo.
Right. So I appreciate why, you know, Sarah had to go. But the thing that got me was, like, with Paige, I was like, this ain't going to work. I knew that from jump. I was like, this ain't going to work. I can tell you that right now. But with Molly, I was like, you know what? I was like, because her relationship.
Molly called her on her bullshit.
Exactly.
That's what it was. Molly called her on it. Yep. Molly knew what her game was. She knew that Shane always thought she wasn't good. And she straight up told her, I'm not going to lie. I don't know which episode it is at this point, but trust me, those will be coming in future episodes. But I remember her telling her, she was like, look, you fight this because you think you're a bad person. And you only think that because you allow yourself to think that way. None of us think that way about you, you know? And, you know, and it didn't help. At one point, Phyllis, Molly's mom, actually said, you know, told Molly she was just wasting her time with Shane just to piss her off because Shane was a nobody, was not going to be anybody. Well, you know, that definitely drove a wedge between Molly and Shane, and Molly had to say something. You know, of course, then we had the fucked up crazy season 6 happening, which I believe it was in 6. It might have been in 5. We'll get this sorted out. But Molly actually came and left a note explaining everything. Because she
It
was 6.
It was 5. See, it was towards the end of 5. She left the letter for Shane. Shane didn't find it. Because remember, Molly showed up and gave it to Jenny. Jenny put it in the attic. Yeah, Jenny put it in the attic with the dailies or whatever from the movie. Yeah. And then we didn't talk about the letter for a while. And then they found the letter in season 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when Shane was like,
because
you know, and then they ran into each other in the shop. Exactly. Yep. Exactly. But yeah, I think that the Shane Molly one, was very similar to Charmin in the sense of, like, they called Shane on her bullshit to an extent. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was different things, different aspects of it with throughout those two relationships. But overall, like, I think that's why I actually liked Shane with Molly.
I loved Shane with Molly. I won't even lie. Yeah, my heart is always partial to Carmen.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one. Another person, I really hope they're able to get her back. Tasha. I want Tasha back. I want to know what happened to Tasha. Yeah.
Because, you know, her and Alice, they were trying to figure out, are we together? Are we not together? Because everything told them they shouldn't be together. But damn it, they loved each other. And honestly, Tasha was good for Alice. Uh-huh. And Alice, I mean, I'm still undecided if Alice was good for Tasha, to be honest with you.
I think she was. And the reason why I think that is because it allowed Tasha to be a little bit more of herself. You know, because Alice was so secure in how she was and everything. I think it really helped Tasha to kind of see that, you know, that you can be yourself. And, you know, her storyline, she had to go through some shit. But I think that really worked. I think there was a balance there because Tasha would rein her in. Because, you know, Alice, Alice won't do what Alice wants to do, even right or wrong or indifferent. And I think Tasha put that kind of in check, was like, yo, like, you need to mind your business. Like I said, I think I liked them together because it was a good balance of reining Alice in and, you know, just kind of calming her down a bit. Because sometimes Alice got on my nerves. Like, I ain't gonna lie. Alice got on my nerves quite a bit because she would just, she would do shit. And I'm just like, you're just so goddamn nosy.
Alice, true story. Alice is one of my favorites. But that stems from because I loved Dana so much. And I loved Dana and Alice so much. Like, I'll just be honest with you. Like, that whole scenario of friends to lovers, the best fit for me for the two of them. Don't get me wrong. I love Laura. Like, I had not a problem with Laura. But she did not know how to deal with Dana like Alice did. But that was because of that friendship that was there before they ever became a couple. Just those two, I always rooted for them, whether they were going to be together as friends or whether they were going to be together as lovers. I mean, they fucking killed Dana, so I don't get my happy ending. But, you know, Ghost Dana is still there. We see Dana. That later on. Ghost Dana's got her back, and she cusses a hell of a lot. You know, and so, like, she just called her own her shit. So I love that even in death, I still am hoping for a resurrection in the new one.
I'll settle
for a doppelganger.
I mean, we might get lucky and Regina actually listened to us talk about the Buffy clause and she could show up. I mean, that's the good thing about like a reboot that's not really it's more of a reboot, not a revival. The good thing about a reboot is you don't know, like especially with the new, you know, the new cast and, you know, what direction they're going to take the show in. You know, the trailer was a minute, so everything we just said is just speculation on what we feel is going to happen. Like, with the new cast, like, I don't know who I'm going to like, who I'm not going to like. I don't know what their stories are. Like, we don't know anything. We just, you know, we have the basic premise
on each one of them.
Exactly. Like, a description, really, of who they are, and that's it. So, you know, it's at this point, it's just open, it's up in the air. I mean, that's the good thing about, I like that about TV, when you can't really predict what is going to happen or what something is going to be, like, it makes it more exciting. And then also it makes it more enjoyable to watch, because if it's something that, you know, like, what's going to happen, or you know, they stick to the same exact thing, it's boring. Like, I've already seen the original. I don't need to see that again. Like, it's great when I'm feeling nostalgic and I want to rewatch it. Cool. But I don't want it to go and have to go buy, you know, Showtime or whatever to rewatch the same thing that I already have. So, you know, let them do their thing, you know, have faith that they're actually going to do this right, do it well. I saw something interesting on Twitter yesterday. This person was like, should I go back and watch the original series? And people were like, yeah, you should watch it. And some people were like, I stopped watching it because, you know, they were so mean to transgenders and da da da. You know, I would say watch the original series just so you get some background on the three original characters we were introduced to in the trailer. Right. So you have an idea, you have a premise of what you're going to be getting into, kind of. I would say go back and watch it and watch the whole thing. Like, but you have to realize that, you know, we talked about this on a previous episode, that it doesn't age very well. Certain episodes don't age well. And go into it knowing that there is, you know, some colorful, to put it lightly, language, and, you know, slurs and different things that we don't say or do today. Or maybe even some people didn't even do it back then, but it happened. I really truly believe that going in, knowing the background of the show and knowing the background of certain characters, like the OG characters, will definitely help when you watch the new show. So that's my take on it. I think that was pretty much the trailer right there, right? It was very quick. It was a minute. So so we kind of overanalyzed it, but, you know, hey, that's what we do. So all right. Well, I think at this point it's probably a good time to just go ahead and dive into our we decided to call it a little fireside chat. You know, just having a little chat about the original series, and you know, we'll go season by season, favorite stuff we talked, you know, saw, favorite episodes, you know, favorite storylines, whatever. So season one, of course, any season one of any show is just going to be your preliminary, you know, the foundation of your show or your series. Season one, you know, you get introduced to all the characters, the main ones anyway. You get introduced to them, and I loved how the show like picked up in the middle of life. You know what I mean? Like it wasn't like it was a start to something. They were already, it felt like maybe if the show had been on, you know, a year or so before. I think season one felt more like a season two in the sense of the pilot, you know, because they started the show in the middle of people's lives. Like they didn't start somewhere, you know, because, you know, you had Bette and Tina, they were trying to do artificial insemination. And, you know, they talked about having an interracial child and how Tina at one point didn't feel comfortable with doing that. And that's real shit. Like, I mean, that's some real stuff right there. Alice was starting the chart, which that was fun back in the day. Alice was starting the chart.
Lives on.
I know, right? Mind you, I think the people that own the chart now, I don't go on their website anymore because they got some, they say some real hateful shit to be about people, especially transgender community. And you know, I'm not a hater, so I'm not about that. So I don't go on there anymore. But back in the day, for those of you that don't remember or weren't alive, back in the day, the L word started the chart. And it was basically, you know, everybody sleeps with everybody was the premise of this chart. And so in like the first couple of episodes, Alice is like basically explaining this, right? Like if I'm remembering correctly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's explaining how, all right, so she laid it out for Dana is kind of how we got introduced to it, because Dana's like, what the hell is this on your wall, Al? And she's like, we can connect to each other because they had not slept together at this point, but we could connect ourselves by our sexual partners. I think it was like in six people or less. And Dana was like, no, no way. And, you know, literally Alice puts her name and she writes somebody she sleeps with, and Dana puts somebody she sleeps with, and they're able to connect themselves. And she's like, look, it's the fact that even though we are a vast community, we're still a small community. And so we can link ourselves. And so then she's like, well, she, you know, calls out. She's like, well, you and Tina. She goes, that's easy. Bet. Because Alice was with Bet, you know. And so it's just how you can connect yourself. It'd be like me and Ashley trying to figure out how we are we connected, which, you know, granted, she's Phoenix, she's Nashville, but I bet there's some connection there at some point. But yeah, it's the chart. It's just connecting yourself to your friends. And then she ends up, you know, Shane's like her own hub, I think is what it is. Because Shane's had all these partners, you know. But yeah, it just kind of grows and grows and grows. And that's, you know, Alice gets her radio show based on that.
Yeah. Well, like, the chart was like 6 degrees of separation for like, like that's basically what it was. But there was a website that like actually started a chart. Like, I don't know if it was the exact same premise, but they basically started, and then they kind of grew this website around the chart and around the L word and that kind of stuff. But they lost their way over the years. But anyway, Dana is, you know, you're introduced to Dana. Dana is a professional tennis player, who's struggling with the decision to come out. And, then there was, Shane, who we've mentioned before. Shane is kind of like, you know, the Lothario of the group. She was a hairdresser in LA. So I was like thinking back on it, I was like, Shane was a damn good hairdresser to be able to afford the kind
that's
of rent.
The thing. But that's, you know, TV. That's TV. You know, Shane's like a freaking hairdresser. Alice is like a freelancer. You know,
uh-huh.
And I'm not talking like a high dollar freelancer. She's writing stories on how to rejuvenate your vag. You know, this is Alice's stuff. But, you know, here they are all living in West Hollywood. You know, the only ones you can understand in West Hollywood are Bette and Tina and Dana, honestly.
Yeah.
Until Helena rolls in.
Yeah. until Moneybags, you know, friggin' English Moneybags rolls in. But Yeah, like thinking back on it, like now it's like, oh my God, there's no way you'd be able to afford half of that shit on what you do for a living. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But it's funny. It's funny to watch. Like, and think about it now, especially like you were like, plus inflation, are you kidding me? There ain't no way.
Wait.
Living in a cardboard box on Hollywood Boulevard, are you kidding me?
She'd be living in that little Toyota pickup she had.
Shit. Yeah,
I mean, she
so
slept
I've
inside it outside Sherry's house. Come on.
right in a refrigerator box, but so yeah, so the show like picks up and you know there's these major plot lines that happen instantaneously, so those are the things that people are going through.
We get introduced into this world via Jenny Schechter. Like, so lover or hater, if you've noticed this series, Jenny is our entry point, straight up. And we enter through the eyes of a quote unquote straight girl because she's moving with her boyfriend who happens to live next door to Matt and Tina. You know, she lives with Tim. So, I mean, we have what our main there, so Bette, Tina, Shane, Alice, Dana, and then Jenny. Like that's really those six are the ones that are going to stick with us
Oh,
pretty
Kit.
much. Oh, Kit, girl, how did I forget Kit? Because Kit is, I fucking love Kit. You know this.
Kit, I can take her or leave her at some point, because like sometimes I was just like, oh my God, I'm tired of your shit. But
Well, I guess
mostly.
my thing is for the sister aspect with
Yeah.
Bette, because let's face it, Bette thinks a lot of herself, but Bette is a bit judgy, and Kit is the only one that's ever real with Bette and calls her on her bullshit. You know, Alice does later on, but Kit is from jump always real with Bette.
Yeah.
So
Well,
that's
like
why I
I
get.
went in too. I love their sister dynamic, and there's a lot of things that the show addressed that, you know, was not taboo, but you were just like, we just don't talk about that, you know, kind of thing. Perfect example with Bette and Kit. You know, Bette and Kit have the same father, but they have different mothers. You know, Bette is biracial, or yeah, biracial, and Kit is not. And they address that at one point because, you know, their father
Ooh, bigot.
basically, he's a bigot, and he loved Bette more than Kit. Like that was 100% seen in the show when the dad was
Melvin.
introduced. But they addressed, you know, that aspect of the relationship. You know, Kit had suffered from substance abuse and alcoholism, that kind of stuff. So you know, they address a lot of these things, and Bette is, you know, very successful, you know, art what was she? I don't know, art director, I guess,
I don't
for
know if she was a director.
I don't know
I
what,
mean, she
but
ran the CAC, the California Art
yeah.
Commission. You know, she head of this museum. She was a fancy pants art lady, okay? She gave talks and got
There you go.
money and spoke
Yeah.
at Senate hearings, okay?
Yeah. Oh, dude, remember that white suit in the first episode?
Yeah.
God.
By the
Holy
way,
shit.
the pilot episode is actually a double episode. If you watch it streaming, so Netflix, Hulu, it's broken down as episodes one and two, but just know that they're actually one episode.
Oh, well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, girl.
but yeah, that white, oh my God, that white suit. Anyway, but yeah, season one, like, I mean, there's just different drama that happens with each character. Obviously, it's a drama show, but of course you have your funny moments. You know, I don't know, I'm thinking it's probably one of your favorites too, but when they go do their homework on Laura.
Oh, look, all right. So, honest to God, my favorite episodes will usually involve when the entire group is pulling off something, okay? Whether it's, I mean, this is like
Oh
episode, I think
my God.
it's episode two, honestly.
Yeah, it's like
And
two or three, something like that. It's like the
no,
first
it's
three.
two for
Three,
sure.
two?
Yeah,
Okay.
it's the episode called Let's Do It. And Dana has got this crush. She's, you know, tennis player at the club. She's a little nerdy. This is also why I love Dana, okay? Dana is hands down my favorite. So they're gonna, you know, she can't figure out. She's like, is she gay? She not. Dana got no gaydar. That she poor baby can't figure it out. So she goes, of course, to Shane and Alice, you know, and Shane and Alice are like, no, we can't deal with this. They're like, this is a job. They needed the older ones. So they go to Bette and Tina's house, which Bette and Tina had just had one of the most amazing sex scenes I have ever seen
True.
anywhere. And you know, Tina's laying there in the bed with her legs up in the air because they had just done the insemination. It's so
Oh my God. It's just, wait, but what gets me though is like, yeah, she's got her legs up. They crawl in the bed. Like, you got some nerve, right?
They
But, I
don't
mean, that's your
realize
close
what just
friend,
happened
so yeah.
until Alice shoots Dana with the damn sperm syringe.
Yeah, like
And she
the
feels so
hilarity.
sorry, you
Yeah.
know.
The hilarity that ensues in that episode
And then
is
so they Beth's like, well, you know what we gotta do? And I mean, they fucking go into the club the next day. Like, they're getting out, like they're the damn FBI. They've got their cell phones. Now, these were flip phones, okay, y'all? These
Oh
weren't
my
the smartphones
God.
of the
Where they had the
day.
flip phone with like the earpiece, remember? Like the cord earpiece. I was like, oh my God.
Beth
Oh
and
my God.
Tina start
Great.
making out. Laura doesn't flash him an eye. You know, they're looking at her nails. I mean, this is where you get all the stereotypes, like how long's your nails? What type of earrings does she
Yeah.
wear? What type of shoes she wear? You know, a lot of these are neutral because she's in a kitchen, so you can't really tell. And Dana's only ever seen her in the uniform. So they all meet in the bathroom, and they're Alice is calling the point system, you know, and they're like, you know what we gotta do, right? You know, they look at each other, they send fucking Shane over to flirt with her. And because they're like, if Shane can't get her, nothing's gonna be getting her, you know?
Yeah.
Shane goes in, Shane gets nothing from her, nothing. And she, you know, walks by, she puts her thumbs down for Dana, and Dana's like, oh my God. So Dana, later it cuts to, they're like, sorry, D, you know, cuts to Dana, you know, later on in the episode, she's in the damn locker room changing. Here in comes Laura, who's in her, like, her little uniform. You know, she'd spilled something, she was changing. And Dana is like losing her shit. She's like, you always look nice when I see you. I mean, she don't know. She's fumbling over her words. And then I think Laura walks out, but then she comes back and she kisses her, right? She's like, in
Yeah.
case you, she kisses her and she's like, just in case you were still wondering, Laura knew the whole fucking time what they were doing.
Yeah. I mean, and like that's cool though. Like you have a group of friends that'll like wingman for you, 'cause yeah.
It's my ride or dies. I've got that group, to be honest with
Yeah.
you. I love.
Yeah. We all know I'm terrible when it comes to figuring out that people are flirting with me. So like having wing people is vastly, vastly important, because if you're oblivious like me, yeah, you definitely miss like a lot of shit. Like that's just, yeah. So Dana having Alice and Shane and Tina and Bette, like it's just freaking fun. Like, first of all, go watch the scene, go watch the episode, but go watch the scene because it's freaking hilarious.
It's one of my favorite episodes of all time.
And then like another one, I think it's like, it's actually another one of the earlier ones, maybe like four or five, when they tell Bette and Tina that they're boring. You remember that one?
Oh, girl, this is episode 7 because this is also the episode Dana and Laura break up. But yeah, when they get and Alice, Shane, and Dana go in and give them a fucking questionnaire because they're boring. And I
Oh my
remember
God.
Bette says something about a cat or whatever because they're like nesting, Bette and Tina, they're nesting, they're having this baby. And Dana's like, oh, I don't know what the line was, but it was like slander against cats. Write that down. You know, she's
Yeah.
taking points off.
Oh, she was like, oh, what did she say? Shit. Oh, I can't remember.
Don't
But yeah, and then Dana was like, yeah, like slander against cats. Oh, and then she was like, can you make sure you put the food in the fridge because the bacteria is some scientific bullshit?
know.
And like Alice is like looking at her like, are you freaking kidding me? Like,
And she's
she,
like,
this is
fuzzy
exactly what I'm
slippers.
talking about.
Yeah,
Yeah.
they were on their shit, man.
Oh my God. Yeah, what kind of underwear or like vaginal discharge? Like it was just
Yeah.
like all this stuff that if I don't know, if you've never had a pregnant friend before, this is the shit they talk about. Like I have a friend of mine right now, a really close friend of mine. She is having her first kid, and I have a group chat with her, my sister, and another really good friend of ours. And like some of the shit that they put in that group chat about like different things with pregnancy, like that's what they talk about. I mean, it is what it is, you know. So I totally relate now. Like back then when I originally saw it, didn't have any kind of context whatsoever, anything to relate it to. Now, totally get it. Like, not saying that my friends are boring, don't get me wrong, but I get kind of where they were coming from. Like, yo, inappropriate conversations at the table, check. Like, but yeah, when they do that part, I just, oh my God, it's hilarious. And then when they go to the boat party.
Oh my
Dana
God.
Gets trashed.
Yeah, Dana, because this is where, you know, her and Laura broke up because Dana's supposed to be getting this big deal with Subaru, but she's quote unquote closeted. Come to find out, fucking Subaru actually wants to use the fact that she's out. And
shocker.
Yeah, big deal. And but she breaks up with Laura because she's like, I can't do this. I can't be out or whatever. And so she's so fucking heartbroken. She gets hammered. And I'm talking, Dana is up. Well, I think Tina's like, wow, look at Dana getting down with her bad self. And before it's over with, Alice and Shane are holding her hair as she's puking over the side of the yacht.
Like, there's that. And then, like, the scene before that kind of led to this was, remember they're doing shots?
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like, it's Bette and Tina, and, like, they're, like, doing body shots. And Bette, you know, she has to drink because Tina's pregnant. So, like, mm-hmm. Bette is, like, pretending drinking, and she's, like, throwing the shots behind her. You know, like, nobody's paying attention. And Dana is just laying them back. And, like,
yeah.
I do remember watching that scene, and I was like, ooh, girl, that tequila boy, that's going to catch you real quick. And sure enough, two scenes later, you see Dana dancing in the window like a crazy person. But yeah, I will say there's so many like comedic things, and it wasn't as funny once Dana was killed off.
No.
Like, I mean, they still had their comedic moments, and there are some really great ones, but like, as far as they were a little more few and far between, I think, after they killed Dana off. But season one there's a lot of little gems in the first three
seasons. Season one, you're right. Season one, like, they go to the fucking dinosaur. Would have also loved that thing. And that's when we learn everybody's coming out story. It's just that whole, I mean, we also meet fucking Tanya. Jesus, nightmare.
Barf.
But, and I don't know. I do. I still probably love season one. Mm-hmm. I won't say the most, because I really do love season two, because I finally get the Dana and Alice that I'd been waiting for. Mm-hmm. Didn't know it was going to happen. I'd always hoped it would, until I think it was the finale of season one. And Alice finally, she goes over to Dana's door and confesses, you know, that she's in love with her. And yeah. I was like, oh, dear God. You know? So, yeah.
Okay, like, season one, if I had to rank all six seasons from best to worst, I would say season two, one, four, five, three, six.
And I will agree 100% with all of that.
Three, because they killed Dana off, and Shane does stupid shit. But those are the two main reasons why, and we're coming to season three. That one, you better strap in for that one. That would be my order. Cause like season six, I'm sorry guys, season six was trash. Season three sucked because of the stuff that happened in it. Season four or season five, you know, I liked what they did with season five, but it's kind of middle of the road. Season four, I love season four mostly because of a lot of the comedic stuff, and Tasha was introduced.
Mm-hmm.
Season one, because it's just a really good season. You learn everything, you kind of get a feel for everybody. And overall, it had really good storylines. And then season two, I liked the best, because I feel like they, you know, the cobwebs are shaking off. You know the characters, you know everything going in, okay, what to expect of the show. And then overall, the writing, I think, was probably one of the best, if not the best, overall of the seasons. Like, they just really did a lot of cool things with the storylines, with the characters. But I guess we forgot to mention some of the bad stuff in season one. Well, not bad, but some of the drama season one. Another thing before we go into that, there's an episode where Bette needs to get funding, and she has to go to this like last billionaire who's played by, I can't think of her name right now. Help me out, please. I'm tired.
Holland Taylor,
which enough said, right? Mm-hmm. Played by Holland Taylor. And that's actually another funny kind of exchange between Bette and Mrs. Peabody. But anyway, she goes, you know, to talk to her about getting funding. She ends up getting the funding, but that opens the door for a character who, shout out to Nat, who absolutely loves this character, Helena. So
who shows up in season two.
So yeah, we don't find out about Helena until season two, but it just basically, that was our line, basically, mm-hmm. her into the show. But, you know, there's drama, of course, that happens in season one. You know, you got Shane doing her same stupid shit. You got Dana, you know, breaking up with Laura and all that stuff. And then Bette and Tina. Now, y'all, they set you up from jump, y'all, from the pilot, like the very first scene of the show. The opening scene is them in bed together and them kind of doing life, you know? And by the end of season one, they done gone through some shit. And
they are broken.
Very disappointed. Shit. But shit nonetheless.
Let's just be real. That's a serial cheater, as we learned.
Yep. It's like, God. Yeah, so it's those pretty ones you gotta look out for, man. Oh. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, you know, Bette cheats on Tina. And like, she like really cheated on Tina. Like, don't get me wrong, cheating is cheating is cheating, okay? But she like emotionally cheated on her. She physically cheated. Like, it was the whole package. Like, it wasn't just physical. Like, she emotionally cheated on Tina. I mean, and I'm not playing devil's advocate. I'm not, you know, advocating that you should cheat on your person. But, you know, Bette, the thing with Bette is, and again, not an excuse for her behavior, but with Bette, so Bette and Tina lost their child, their first one.
Yep.
And Bette, because Bette, the way Bette is, you know, she's super type A, she didn't grieve. And because she didn't grieve, she started making a lot of stupid decisions and not grieving with her partner to deal with it together, which is the hugest mistake you can make when you both are going through something. You know, you need to be there for each other in order to get through it. And she didn't do that. So that, in turn, in my opinion, kind of led her down the path that she went. And even, I mean, that was a pattern that existed throughout the show, really and truly. But she became so broken that she didn't recognize that she was broken from it, and then went to find, you know, solace in other people and instead of Tina. And that's what caused her to do the shit that she did. But she ends up cheating on Tina with this like carpenter chick, from their like pregnancy therapy group or so. I don't know. Some kind of California bullshit.
Her ex was in the group that always called Bette out about her bullshit because Bette, you know, kind of, Bette would hide her blackness is what she, I think she called her out on.
I can't speak to that because, you know, everybody has their struggle when it comes to racial identity. So, but it was interesting to watch that though. Bette just did some stupid shit. And, you know, Tina, I'm not saying that the blame rests with Tina as far as why Bette cheated on her. But, you know, I think there was some responsibility on Tina's side of things to recognize that they both needed help. And they didn't. And that caused the relationship to crumble. So basically, season one ends with their relationship just falling apart. And then season two, take it away, Annette. Roll us into season two, girl.
Season two. All right, so first episode of season two, we are dealing with, we're dealing with the fallout of Bette and Tina because they are broken. They are not together. You know, Tina fell apart as soon as she figured out the cheating. Like, Bette didn't even have to tell her. Tina saw Bette touch the woman's hand and knew. Like, that's how connected these two are, you know? So we roll into season two. They're broken. Dana and Alice, you know, we just found out that Alice is in love with Dana. And guess what? Dana loves her too. But Dana got a girl. And we're not Laura. This is still a crazy bitch, Tanya, okay? Anyway, and also, what happens in that first episode, Ashley? We meet Carmen de la Pica Morales. And I mean, that shit happens. Her and Shane see each other. Shane is doing Ariana Huffington's hair. And Carmen is like doing this PA. We know nothing about this girl. We just know she's uber hot. That's it. See Shane. Next thing we know, they fucking up in the sound room on the board. And I mean, it's just like, hi, want to? Yep, this is gonna happen. And I mean, they do. They have like an instant connection. The chemistry between Kate Manning and Sarah Sheehy, that is palpable, okay? Whether it's on screen or not. And it just kind of sets us up into that. And also this episode, this is one of my favorite Dana and Alice scenes, and I think it's, I know it's yours too, Ashley. Where they decide that they're gonna have to, because Dana, you know, they love each other, but Dana's not gonna leave this Tanya because they're gonna be getting married. Let me tell y'all, Tanya's the worst. Tanya's crazy. Tanya's psycho. She's using Dana to get ahead in life. Let's just put it out there.
Yep.
Met her? Yep. That's what's going down. So they decide they're gonna meet Runyon Canyon. And go well, they're gonna meet Runyon Canyon, go hiking, Ashley. Got any feelings
Fucking
about that?
hiking, man. Fucking hiking. Oh my God. Sorry, y'all. We have a kind of an inside joke about hiking. I don't understand it. I don't understand why people like doing it so much. But yeah. Fucking hiking. Oh my God. Like, I just can't. I can't avoid it. I'm watching it in TV. I'm seeing it in dating. It just. I can't avoid it. It just. I don't get it. I don't get
But yeah, I mean, they meet on this hike that Ashley loathes, but she loves to see, to go over the rules of unattraction. You know, basically they're telling each other what they can't do in their presence. Like, she tells Dana, she's like, you can't come into the planet with your veins all pumping and sweaty. And Dana's like, oh, you like that? Tanya hates that. And she's like, no, girl, I like it. And she tells Alice, she's like, well, you can't wear those shirts, you know, that they touch you in some places and they don't touch you in others. You know, she's and it's honestly, it's like, you know, we can't be anywhere that there's a bed. And then they're like, a table, a counter, basically anywhere. They can't be alone because they're afraid they're gonna have sex.
Basically, a flat surface of any kind is
Yeah.
basically the general thing of they can't be in the same room together alone.
Yeah, can't handle it. Yeah. They just, oh my God, they just absolutely crack my shit up. But I mean, I don't know. The episode, you know, we enter into it. Tina, you know, I think, I don't know if it's this episode or further, I can't remember which one. Honestly, we're doing this shit by memory, most of it.
Yep.
But Tina goes and talks to a divorce lawyer at the advice of Alice. Because at this time, you know, gay marriage, you know, which is just marriage, was not legal. But her and Bette had been cohabitating. They were partners. But, you know, Tina had quit her job, everything to kind of go, you know, to have this baby. And by the way, we find out Tina is pregnant because
Oh,
she
snap.
goes, yeah, Bette don't know. Nobody knows at this point. She just goes and gets inseminated before she knew about the cheating, before she knew about any of it, because she was afraid, this is the story they gave us, that, you know, if it didn't take or if she miscarried like before, that, you know, Bette wouldn't be able to handle it again. So she did it on her own, which, first of all, T, that's shitty. I mean, this is y'all's baby. Y'all planned on this together. You used the donor y'all picked out together. So look, I know Tina is feeling herself, but I ain't happy about that choice. I mean, I don't care what Bette did or did not do. You don't hide the baby from her. That's just shitty.
It
But
is.
it's just shitty. But no, season two is probably, we already discussed this. Season two is our favorite season. You know, we get to deal with the falling out of that. It's honestly, we're hoes. It's because we get to meet Carmen. It's honestly what it
Yes. There, Shahi, y'all. Okay. So, fun story. You know, at the time, so the show went off. I was a junior in college. I was a freshman. Wait, this show started in 2004, right?
Yeah.
Okay, started 2004. So I was a junior in high school when it started. My first job was at a Blockbuster in small town Louisiana. Okay, and one of my managers, her name was Teresa, and I can't Teresa Wages. If somebody knows who this person is, please leave me a message so I can find her again because I got to thank her for a lot of stuff. But anyway, she was my manager, and I was, you know, looking for. We got five free rentals at working at Blockbuster a week, and I was looking for something to watch. And you know, she knew some things about me that I didn't even know, and she was like, "Why don't you try this?" So she gave me the first season of The L Word, and I watched it, and I was like, huh. Then I went back for my next week, and I got season two. Now, mind you, that was an eye-opening experience, and the reason why.
I could imagine.
And the reason why, Sarah Shahi, holy shit. Oh my god. Like, if you, okay, people out there in podcast land, we don't take anything else we say in the next 15 episodes, the last 12 we've done, anything we say at all. Please, 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 you will thank us. Go back and watch season 2, episode 1, or season 2 of any episode, really, because she was in just about every one.
Because the next episode is when we get the Shane and Carmen too hot scene.
Yeah.
And that, trust me, and then, I don't care if you have seen this show or not, uh-huh. I guarantee you have played too hot with your partner.
Uh-huh. And then in season 2, episode 2, you remember when Shane goes to see Carmen, because she's like, was it two or three? No, it was three. Season 2, episode 3, when Shane goes to see Carmen at the set of that, like, music video, and they're, like, mm-hmm. making out behind the silhouette. And she's like, I can't see you tonight because I have to go get my friend a lap dance. And she was like, I can give you a lap dance. Oh my god, y'all.
Girl, lap dance was episode 2.
Oh, it was the same episode. It was episode 2. Okay. Yeah. Y'all.
Because the next time in 2, y'all, this shit takes up space in our brain, okay? This is just how we are. So the next episode is when Shane pushes her and Jenny together and Carmen's like, what the fuck? You know? Like,
okay.
All right. Shane and Carmen.
Pause. Okay.
Yeah.
We're gonna take a commercial break here. All right. Now, when you do your research, y'all, and you find out who Sarah Shahi is, if you don't already know, I'm pretty sure if you're listening to us, you probably already know. But if you don't, do your research. Now, I don't know what human being in their right mind, regardless of the fact that you have relationship issues or anything like that, why, oh, why, oh, why would you ever, in a million fucking years, ever send her to go be with somebody else? Are you serious? Like, mm-hmm. are you the dumbest human being? I think you are. I really do. Well,
and Shane's whole MO, she's like, I told you I don't do relationships. It's because Carmen got too fucking close. And I mean, if it's just a matter of a couple
of immediately, episodes, though.
Yeah.
Like, that, see, proof positive that they belong together, because in a span of 2 episodes, and this wasn't even halfway through the episode, so really and truly 1.5 episodes, this all went down in 1.5 episodes. And if you remember from season 1, Shane, that was not her, like, she was
all went up on, like, on Sherry Jaffe.
Just straight up, I mean, besides her, which I was like, okay.
Shane was involved with a married woman. It ended badly. That was the only person Shane had ever loved. So here we are.
Yeah. But the other day, what were we talking about? Sometimes I wish people could see our group chat, because it's just freaking hilarious. But the other day, we were in a group chat, and I don't know what I saw or what we were talking about, but I sent Annette and our friend Nat a text, and I was like, Shane has to be the dumbest human being. Like, I was on a rant that day about Shane and Carmen. I was like, Are you serious? I couldn't even talk. Like, y'all, and you know me, I can talk. And I couldn't even get this shit out. I couldn't even text it out. I was that upset. But, like, I sent them a text, and I was like, she's the dumbest human being I think I have ever. Like, why would you ever leave? You're playing too hot, and you leave?
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, no. No, no, no. No, 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 no. No, no, no. Yeah. Yeah. So, moral of the story, don't be a dumbass, okay? Just don't do it, especially when it comes to that kind of shit. And don't push that person to somebody else because you have some weird-ass issues about relationships. Like, she didn't say she wanted a relationship. She just wanted to get to know you better. Like,
yeah, she asked me a couple questions, fool.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like they wanted to hurry up, run out, and get married. That wasn't on the table. Just wanted to get to know you. That was all. But your dumbass decided that you didn't want to do that. So, I can't. Holy shit.
I just, All right, back to what we were originally talking about. I don't even remember what we were talking about. Because it still pisses me off.
We went from lap dance to too hot, and then it was a shame rant.
Yeah, I mean, just the stupidity in that particular decision was just real. Like, what the fuck were you thinking? But you know, hey, but and that like again, that was the first two episodes, like. And they're just their chemistry was just so palpable. Like it was insane to see that in two episodes, not even two episodes, you know. But yeah, then like Jenny, But I will say I did love Jenny's haircut. I think she looks Mia Krishna looks really good.
Yeah,
really really good. Well, like
for me, super cute. Because look, I know we get stuck on our favorites, and that's just how we roll. Okay, we will talk more about other people at some other time. It's just how it is. But Jenny, you know, we watched her because season one, we got introduced with her. She was straight girl. She ends up having this affair with Marina. All right, let me just tell y'all, Marina's hot garbage. She hot and she garbage.
No, no, no. You need to be a little bit more detailed. Hot ass garbage. Oh my god. Hot ass garbage. Trash.
You know, she has a partner. We find out in season two, she actually has a husband. All right, let's don't even get into that, okay? And she literally wrecked Jenny's life, but Jenny was a partner in it, but Jenny was taken aback, you know, at first, you know, and my thing, I always felt like, I think the guy said it best, you know, Jenny's a writer, so she's, you know, she craves experiences, okay, but, I mean, if you would have seen Marina, she came on, yeah, I'd probably do that too. Jenny doesn't know anything about this, she just knows this hot-ass woman's into her. Jenny acts on it, like most of us would. And, you know, if completely fucking wrecks her life, you know, she loses Tim. There was a horrible, short-lived marriage, all this stuff. And so then, you know, Jenny's just now coming in to try to figure out who she is. And like I said, we don't love Jenny, but I don't mind Jenny in season one and two until we get to those carnival dreams. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, my God.
And, but she goes and she asks Shane to cut her hair. And it's this moment where Shane's like, right now, because it's like midnight or some shit, you know? And she's like, yeah. Because, you know, Jenny was just this girl, you know, girl next door, long hair, had the bangs. And Shane goes and she cuts her hair. And you can see it on, like, Mia Kirshner is a fabulous actress. And you can just see it on her face, just like what this haircut means to her. It's not just a cut. And I, you know, personal experience, I'll say when you cut that off, like, you're cutting all these years of all these expectations that people have had of you, and now you get to finally, this new hair is you, because you chose this. This is who you get to be. I don't know, maybe a little more deep than what it should be, but that's just kind of how I feel.
No, I mean, I think, like, and then two, I mean, she had some weird-ass shit in season two, but...
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we learned in season two, she was a victim of sexual abuse. You know, yeah. It's hard. Jenny's been through some shit.
Yeah,
but at the same really time, there was some crazy shit they wrote for her. And I'm like, I just don't get it. You know, them carnival flashbacks and stories, whatever. We could have had it in another way.
I mean, you know, I feel like they could have explained. I mean, the carnival, like, scenes or whatever, I think it was just, you know, kind of, like, metaphoric, you know, telling her story. But I feel like it was fucking weird. Like, it was just so weird that it was hard to follow. I mean, I mean, if you've read a book, you kind of figured out, okay, it is metaphoric. But, like, it was just weird. Like, you could have done it a different way to get the same, you know, message across, you know, that she was abused. But I just, the carnival shit was just, it was fucking weird, man. It was so fucking weird. and then, like, at one point, doesn't she, like, go to, like, some, like, podunk-ass bar or something like that and, like, start stripping or something?
Yeah, she just strips completely naked.
Yeah.
Just straight up strips naked.
There's nothing wrong with mental illness or anything, but, like, sometimes the way that they showed that, the way they portrayed it, I was just like, did y'all consult somebody before you decided to do some of this shit? Because,
well, you know, honestly, I don't know. I would have to go back and find this because I read this years ago.
And this is something that I can't wait to get your take on it. And I don't know if it was on the site that shall not be named. I don't know if it was an interview on there or if it was some other publication. But they were talking about, because anytime Jenny was on screen, no matter who wrote the episode, Eileen Shaikin wrote Jenny's part, wrote the lines, wrote the stories, everything. She always wrote Jenny's. And she would always write the first and the finale episode from, I think, if I'm right. But in this interview, Eileen had said that, you know, we enter into it like Jenny and Bette were two sides of the same coin, and they were her. I'm like thinking a lot of yourself here, Eileen. Like, you know, Jenny is where she started and Bette's where she ended up. I'm just relaying that to you.
I wish you could see my face right now. Like, oh my God. Eileen. Nah, girl, you're not even in the same. No. No. Just hell to the no. Nope. Nope. Ugh, I have so many thoughts and feelings,
I mean,
but we
I
don't
was
have the
just, as
time
I
to
was,
say them.
you know, going through, knew we were going to be talking about this today, I was like pulling all this stuff out that I like. This takes up space in my brain. Like, I have no use for this other than talking bullshit. This is it, you know? But this show, it means something to me. And I know it means something to you, and it means something to a hell of a lot of other people. You know, I see it, you know, in my own friend group, whether I'm on social media or anything like that. Like, these characters, these people, they were our entry point into acceptance for a lot of us, you know, whether we were accepting ourselves or even, you know, family accepting us,
Well,
which.
and two, I think it was really good as far as like people even outside of your circle and your family to kind of see, like, don't get me wrong, like it's not real life by any means
No.
of the word, but to kind of get an idea of the community, not 100%, but just somewhat of an idea. So it's not as like taboo or it's not as, you know, unknown or whatever word you want to use, but just to get an idea, I think it was, you know, it just really, really helped out a lot in the sense for the time, I would say.
My twin sister watched this fucking show religiously. Like, and when I say twins, we couldn't be more different. I mean, she is straighter than straight, gayer than gay, you know, right here. But she loved the show. She liked the characters. And honestly, she watched it so we could both have something to watch together on it. And she ends up, you know, and she would always be Jenny's advocate. She's like, look, I hate that bitch's guts too, but you know, if you didn't have Jenny to hate, y'all
Right?
wouldn't have a show, because you've got to have that. It's a soap
It's very
opera,
true.
you know?
It's very true. Which, I mean, like, I've never hated Bette, but I really disliked her, like,
Yeah.
strongly disliked her.
No matter what Bette happened with Bette and Tina, whether they were together, whether they weren't together, let's just be season two, Bette was really fucking unaware. She didn't even know Tina was pregnant like nobody else did, you know?
She's so very
Alice,
self-centered.
yeah, she was like, bitch has been eating her feelings, you know? She was thinking, Bette was like, I saw that she gained weight. I was hoping it was going to be hard for her to find a partner. You know what I mean?
God,
Who says
fucking
that?
bet.
Who says
Bet.
that?
Bet Porter. But yeah, I mean, season two, like, Tina, you know, Tina, I liked, and a lot of people don't really care for Tina. Like, I didn't hate on Tina. I just, you know, she got my nerves a lot. She's kind of like Shane. She got my nerves a lot, with some of the shit that she did and said and stuff. But like, with Tina, I think season two, I think the breakup was good for her because come season six, I actually liked Tina.
Well,
Like,
the thing is, you know, Bette was the only woman Tina had ever been with. Only woman. You know? So, yeah, girl, I ain't gonna lie. I love the fact that Tina got to date somebody else because that's how we got our Helena, okay? And
very
Helena
true.
Peabody is one of the best characters in this franchise. Absolutely. Because you want to talk about some character growth, character
Yes.
arc. Like, it is.
She had the
Yeah.
biggest character growth out of everybody in the entire series.
Yeah.
Because she went
100%.
from so y'all, basically, season two, do you remember how they met? Oh, they met through Tina's job. Tina's like
Because it was
for
the grant, because Bette was supposed to get this grant. Tina was volunteering at this place and ends up getting the grant because Helena is, let's go back to season one where we met Holland Taylor. She was Peggy Peabody. Peggy Peabody's stepping down and retiring, so her hot-ass English daughter, Helena, is going to be taking over the foundation.
Yes.
So that's how we get our intro into that. So, yeah. You know, Helena's the one that's giving out these grants where, you know, Peggy was big into the arts. Helena's more into the social justice, and that's where Tina's coming in at. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what it is. She goes in, she meets Tina, and you want to talk about somebody that notices and is observant. And so she walks in to present this award, you know, to the foundation that Tina's volunteering with. She was the one that wrote the grant. So, of course, Helena goes and meets her. And, I mean, you want to talk about somebody that is observant and got some game, you know, figures out this is Bette's, you know, ex-partner. Oh, she's pregnant. Oh, you know what? I think I hit this. You know what I mean? Helena was competition for Bette, and it was great.
Well, because they're both, like, super type A. They're basically, like, the same person. Just one's British and white, and the other one is not. Like, they're basically the same person. Like, Helena, man, like, she came in, like, Shane has game. I personally don't understand how people fall for it, you know, in the show, but whatever. Mm-hmm. But she has game. But Helena, man, that bitch, I mean, between the accent and just her overall, like, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I mean, she just, y'all, watch the show. You'll understand. If you haven't seen it, watch it. But, yeah, like, and I love that they introduced another type A, like, Bette. Because some of their, like, back and forth is gold. That is TV gold. Mm-hmm. Like, because, you know, Helena's like, basically, I'm rich, well, bitch. That's basically her
honestly,
philosophy.
The way we meet Helena is, like, episode 4, season 2, because Bette flies her ass to New York to meet because she knows Peggy's no longer going to be handing out the stuff at the foundation.
Yeah.
So she goes and she's trying to impress. Helena has got no time for Bette. Bette is unimpressive to her. Like, you know, Helena gives two shits. She's not paying her any attention. And I like that Helena can, you know, put Bette on edge.
Yeah. I mean, she's good. But I do appreciate, though, when Bette did go to New York because, they get that one scene where she's like, I don't know, Jennifer Beal smoking a cigarette. Oh my God. Like, I don't advocate smoking cigarettes by any means, but oh my God. Lord Jesus. There's you know, there's a lot of single Bette scenes in season 2 that definitely garnered some rewatches, quite a few mm-hmm. rewatches. And that's one of them. But Helena, I just really liked, I was like, oh yeah, yeah. Give Bette a run for her money. Like, I just want World War III to break out because, you know, Bette is very sharp. Her tongue is very sharp. And Helena, again, her philosophy is, I'm rich, bitch. And I mean, that's a very powerful moniker. So, you know, so watching those two interact and then they're fighting over Tina is just great. But, yeah, Bette, season 2 Bette, I was just like, bitch, what the fuck are you doing? But, you know, everybody's gotta grow. This was the start for Bette to kind of grow over the years. It took a while for her to kind of, you know, get to a very likable place. I liked Bette instantaneously, but, you know, as far as, like, overall as a likable character, she really wasn't likable overall, I think. I think she was more of, like, you kind of took her or leave her.
I can see that because I can remember, all right, you know, I was right out of college as OR started, but I still had that core group of friends, you know, and we would always, but hell, by the time it ended, we all had like these watch parties and we would float to somebody's house every Sunday to watch this together. And I'm talking like it's a fucking dozen lesbians in this house. We would have some fights because it would be bet. And I can remember me and Kelly. Oh God, me and my friend Kelly, we were Bette fans. Like we would dog them out. If you want to talk about Bette, don't come at us, because we sat there and we would back our shit up. We're like, look, we know she's shit, we know she's trash, we know she's a cheater, but she has changed her way. She has come around, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know, we would defend Bette to our death.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, Bette, like, she's, you know, she's very self-centered. She's very, you know, again, she's type A. So a lot of people, mm-hmm. you know, type A is can rub people the wrong way, you know, a lot. So, so she had, you know, she had a lot of stuff going against her. And then the whole cheating on Tina thing And, you know, even the friend group was like, yo, what you did was fucked up. And yeah. good old loyal Shane, you know.
I know.
Trying to keep the band together, you know. That's one of Shane's best qualities.
Shane's family. Right. I mean, Shane had nobody but that group. And I think that's a lot of us, you know, in this community. Our friends are our family.
I liked season two. One of the reasons why it's my favorite season is because you see Shane, you know, start to realize that the lifestyle that she, the walls that she built up around herself, it ain't gonna cut it anymore because she really likes Carmen. So, and seeing that, like, development, there's a lot of other weird shit that happens. They have this rando dude,
Mark,
roommate guy, fucking creeper. You know, he pops in, for a hot second, and then, but mainly, you know, you have the Alice and Dana situation.
Look, I gotta get this in here because Alice and Dana, we know they love each other. They admitted it. But when they finally get together, it is the best because it's not some dramatic, like making love scene. Like, they're just trying to get it done. It's episode 5. I'll watch this, I don't know how many times. I will watch this scene over and over because they're actually doing gift bags for Dana's
wedding.
Dana's wedding bachelorette party to crazy ass Tanya. Dana gets up like on all fours to look in a bag. They're like, they have handcuffs her in these gift bags. Like, I would have wanted to go to this wedding, okay? Right. And Alice is like, Dana, you have a really great ass. Like, Alice has lost all composure. The rules of unattraction aren't working. And Dana's like, really? And then bam, they are full on making out, and you hear, finally, it's happened to me.
Oh, yeah. The music choices in this show were just, they're always just so spot on.
Oh, my God.
That's why
I'm like, watch those DVDs, man, because the music. We need to talk about the music at some point. But yeah, like, they just finally get together, and it's just it's like, oh, my God. And then they almost get caught. Because Tanya and her mom's coming in, and Dana and Alice are still handcuffed together.
Yeah. oh my God. But season two, it's really, really good, y'all. Like, the storylines and stuff are just, you know, so much better. The intro, the two amazing characters that get introduced to our group of women. Marina finally hits the road. Thank God.
Thank God. All right, I got a story on this one. And I will not lie because I got this from another podcast that I listen to, and it's To Ellen Back. Auto Struggle does it. Listen to it. I will plug that for them just free of charge because I love it. And they've broken they've done season one so far, episode by episode. They're working on season two, episode by episode. And of course, you know, they're professionals at this thing, so they have some in on knowing some things. And like a while back, Karina Lombard, the one that plays Marina, had posted on her Instagram, like, how much she had stood up for the LGBT community. Like, I went and looked at this. And then she, like, kept changing it and changing it when they were talking about the reboot and how, like, the L word ruined her life and this or that. And, like, this was this ongoing thing from, like, season one. They were trying to figure out the host of To Ellen Back. They're like, what the hell happened? And it was like this ongoing thing. We were trying to figure out, you know, she changed it this week, she changed it this week. Well, just, I don't know, a couple episodes ago into season two, they came in and they were talking about how the story they got, and I don't remember if somebody had emailed them or they had seen it in somewhere written, but apparently Karina Lombard thought she should be as top billed as what Jennifer Bills was. Girl, give me a minute. So, what she wanted to happen is them be fighting over Tina. Like, first of all, why would Marina and Tina even get together? That makes no fucking sense, okay? And Jennifer Bills and Karina Lombard just did not get along. And basically, Karina kind of put up this ultimatum of, like, you know, this is what I want. Give it to me or I'll go. So they wrote her ass off the fucking show and we got Helena.
Okay, I'm gonna tag in here. You know, we do like to, you know, tag team on the show. So mm-hmm. Here's my tag. All right, let's just dive a little bit into this. Now, the podcast that Annette recommended, I've actually started listening to it. I didn't listen to season one, but I did start season two. The episodes they've done for season two, and I've enjoyed them thoroughly. But like, I texted Annette because I was like, I didn't know any of this shit. But it makes sense because at that point in my life, I just wasn't, you know, hardcore into the internet like that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, and so I was like, what the hell? So then Annette kind of was explaining, and I was like, oh shit. Now, all right. In what world do you think? I mean, in your heart of hearts, in what world do you think you deserve top billing like Jennifer Beals? Are you fucking serious? Like, that's through your mind. You thought in your heart of hearts that you were at the same level. Bitch, okay, I worked at a fucking Blockbuster, all right? Fucking Blockbuster. I done seen so many damn movies people probably ain't never heard of because they sucked. I done seen so many movies. I can tell you right now, I don't remember her ass from no other movie or TV show besides the L Word. So you can GTFO with that whole shit. And yeah, they wrote your ass off. I love how they were like, oh, you want to give us an ultimatum? Bye, bitch. You're gone. Let's bring in somebody else who, I'm sorry, I'm going to say
nobody
it.
Nobody.
Better looking. Her.
Like, who's better looking. I'll take this back. She was hot. My friend Wendy loved her. Nah. But the way that she manipulated Jenny and the whole shit with Francesca, who was her partner, and then the surprise husband, like, she was just gross.
Marina played too many games, and that's very unattractive to me. So I'm like, you were not as attractive, okay? Your character. I mean, you literally had three lines every episode. Like, clearly. You not as good as you thought because they never really gave you any dialogue. Literally, go back and look at it. She had like literally five lines every episode. Like that was it. Like she popped in and out, you know. And
she owned the planet, which was their go-to hang.
Yeah. Like, what receipts does she believe she had that she could go back and say she deserved top billing? Oh, and then okay, let's get started on this whole. Oh, we should have a back and forth between Marina and Tina. You know, one of the things that irritates me to no end is when you create storylines from nothing. You create so-called tension from nothing. Like, I need receipts. Show me in the show's timeline where there has ever been any moments to where it's justified that they pursue a relationship or some kind of triangle.
Like, she ain't even, Tina is not even Marina's type. Like, she was in on Jenny.
Yeah,
like
Tina
and Jenny shared some rosemary once. That was it.
And furthermore, all right, if there was any type of tension or anything like that, at some point it would have been addressed in season one. There would have been some kind of scene. They never had any scenes together besides the rosemary thing. Like, I just, I heard this and I was like, really? Like, you know, I gotta applaud you for thinking a whole highly of yourself, but.
I mean, no. You do you, girl, but...
Nah, bitch, nah. No. Don't come for Jennifer Beals. See, that's what I understand. Like, you didn't even go for, like, the second. But even if she would have went for Pam Grier, okay? Again, kind of the same scenario, but it would have made a little bit more sense because Kit wasn't a, like, regular cast member, you know? Like... It would have made more sense, and I would have been like, okay, that's kind of stupid, but all right, you know, hey, you went for it. If she even went for Kit, cool, all right. But you went for Jay Beals? You went for JB? Are you fucking serious? Did that really happen in real life? Like, what? Oh my God, I can't even, y'all. Like,
I mean, look, L Word would never have been what it was without Jennifer Beals.
No, not at all. Because nobody knew the names of anybody else in that show besides Pam Grier and Jennifer Beals. That's it.
That was
like, be real. Nobody knew anybody. No. No. Nope. Not at all. And then then she tried to jump in on the reboot. Oh my God. Yeah, I didn't know she tried to jump in on the reboot. I didn't know about that.
Well, no, she did not want in on it. Like, when they started the reboot, everybody was talking about, oh, we want Marina, we want this, all these fans. And then she, like, posted this fucking Instagram and was like, it was the worst years of my life, and blah, blah, blah. You know, real vague, but very, you know, playing the victim on it. And that's when the girls on Auto to Ellen Back were like, bitch, we gotta find this out. We want to know what happened between, why the L word was so bad for her. But yeah.
So bad for her, because nobody fucking liked you. Like, oh my god. Like, I can't. No.
You say?
Nope. It makes me laugh. You thought you were gonna come for dinner for Bills? Are you serious? Are you fucking serious? Flashdance? You decided you wanted to go for Flashdance. Oh my god. Well, I gotta applaud her audacity, though. I really gotta applaud.
It didn't work out for her, but she shot it.
But yeah, like the Tina, that's what you wanted to do. You could have came up with any other suggestion, and you thought that having a love triangle between you, Bet, and Tina was gonna work. Like,
it's never going to work, because Tina obviously likes the alpha types, so it had to be another Bet, and that's why Helena Peabody was so fucking perfect. Because I'm gonna tell you, like you said, they're the same person, but that each character is independent of their own, and I love them both. But I love Helena.
Helena is awesome. I didn't really care for too much in season 2, just because, you know, she was kind of a bitch. But I understood it.
She was playing the games.
Because I understood it.
She wanted Tina. Respect. And, you know, she kind of got let into the group because of Tina. And then everybody really fucking liked her. You know? I mean, they really did.
Yeah. But, I mean, like I said, respect. I'm not hating on her or anything like that. Like, I enjoyed her character. I just didn't really care for her as much in season 2, just because she was kind of a bitch. But I get why she was. Mm-hmm. And again, she, to me, has the best character arc of that show, because of what she goes through. But season 2 ends, the baby's born. You know, there's some other, you know, filler things in here. Shane and Carmen finally get their shit together. Mostly Shane gets her shit together.
Yeah, it's at the very end of fucking season 2.
The very end. Like, the very last episode of season 2.
And by the way, Dana and Alice don't even last the whole fucking season once they get together. They get together halfway through. Mm-hmm. And then Laura, which, all right, I'm going to have to go back on this because Laura was honestly, I mean, yeah, Dana had people before, but I think Laura was Dana's first true love, to be honest.
Yeah.
They break up because Dana thinks she can't be out in season 1. Then comes to find out that's what they want, is for her to be out. And Dana never goes to try to find Laura and say, hey, I'm out. We can be together now. She never does that. That's the one problem I've always had with Dana. Like, I think I would have gone to that partner, that girlfriend, whatever, and would have been like, look, this is where I'm at. I know what I did was shitty because I walked away from you because I thought I had to be closeted, you know? But that never happened. They just throw her with crazy fucking Tanya. Who, you know, and maybe that's why she never had a chance to go back to Laura. And then Alice happened. And then Laura runs into her. They just randomly run. Well, Laura starts working at the planet because Kit knows a good chef when she sees one. But, you know, Dana thinks, oh, we can be friends. But Dana, in her heart of hearts, knows that she could never just be friends with Laura.
Mm-hmm.
And Alice, rightfully so, is fucking jealous of this. But it's kind of, we get to see the pre-craziness come out in Alice. And, you know, by the end, you know, Dana kind of pushes Alice to the side and she's going to be with Laura. And the thing is, it ended not only their relationship, but it ended their friendship at that moment. And this girl was in the dumps, okay, y'all?
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening, guys. We do appreciate you. That's going to be part 1 of our L Word discussion. We'll have part 2, seasons 3-6, coming at you pretty soon. But as always, you can find us on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/IcanShipItPod. You can find us on Twitter, IcanShipItPod. Also on Instagram at IcanShipItPod. We'd love to hear from you. Send us a line. You know, we want to see how we're doing. If you're still listening, that would be nice to know too. But again, thank you so much. We do appreciate you as always. This is the I Can Ship It Pod.